And Miss Denise is standing up. Wave your hand. Any child that wants to go to Children's Church, please go with Miss Denise right now. And if you are in need of nursery, I believe we have a nursery worker here that would meet you in the nursery if you wanted to take your small one. I'm going to start reading in Genesis 3, verses 1 through 7. Genesis 3, 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman answered the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God had said, 'You must not eat it or touch it, or you will die.'" "You will not surely die," the serpent told her, "for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eyes, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom, she took the fruit and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed together fig leaves and made coverings for themselves. Let's pray. Father God, just bless the reading of your word. And as we go into this new series, I pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us and help us, Lord, to realign our priorities with yours during this time of seeking you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As most of you know, this is here at North Manchester Missionary Church. We are in the year of 2020, the year of spiritual vision. And the goal is to have each one of us to reassess your worldview, to reassess how you look at things, and to realign it how God sees things. So what are his priorities? What are the things that he has spelled out so clearly in Scripture that we as Christians, we as followers of God, are to be about? And so I've invited you to come along this journey with me as we, again, just start over. And here we are in Genesis, looking at the original fall, the first time that sin had entered into the world. And we're going to see that there was a clear vision issue here as the woman sees the fruit and sees that it is pleasing to the eye and good for making her like God, and that Adam was standing right with her the whole time and he participated in this. And it was the beginning of the humans getting their eyes off of God and being able to be like God in the sense of declaring yourself God and being on the throne of your life where you call the shots. It's our original problem. And it's a problem that so many of us have. And it's so important that we roll back the clock and we start disciplining our mind and to allow his word to transform our mind so that we think like him. So that we look at people like he does, that we realign our priorities of what we think is important and the things we think are not important, and to align them with his. One of the verses that you're going to hear a lot today is from the book of Hebrews. And it's Hebrews 11:3, because this is one of the foundational truths that it's so important when we talk about vision that we understand. And it's Hebrews 11:3. "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible." This is the foundation of sight, to start seeing things the way that God does. Because see, from a fallen human perspective, like Adam and Eve after the fruit, they started to see in things from purely what they can see, feel, and touch. That's what is seen. It's something that is material. It's something that is matter. That their worldview was based upon the material from this point out. But for Christians, it's so important that we understand that everything you can see, feel, and touch was created by the invisible spoken word of God. It rolls it back to where we realign. When we start realigning our worldview, we stop seeing things according to our perspective, but to the unseen God's perspective. Amen? Because everything was created out of the invisible. It's something you have no control of. Something that you have no power over. The invisible, the unseen. And a Christian worldview starts there. Too many Christians have been infiltrated by worldviews of natural selection and evolution. And that the atoms and the particles around us have always been here. A Christian perspective believes that there was a time when nothing existed as you and I would determine nothing. There was absolutely perfect nothingness. And yet there was still God. He pre-existed time, which is just a sequence of events. That's all time is. Matter, anything you can see, feel, and touch. And space, the distance between two or more points. That before all of that, there was God. And so the worldview of realigning our worldview has got to start there. That it's all about God. That He is the real, not what you and I can determine from our little throne of what we think is real. Amen? And so it's a foundation here. Let's look at this passage of our original fall. When we got our eyes off the uncreated God and started to worship and serve creation, was this point in our in humanity's experience. One thing is, there is a creature that is called the serpent. We believe that there were two actual beings existed here. As Christians, in the study of Scripture, there were two beings present here. There was an animal. There was an animal in the garden that God had made. And it is called the serpent. But it's not a serpent as you and I think a serpent, because the serpents that you and I deal with have been cursed. Because there was a curse when the serpent, the animal, participated in this by having that second being, an angelic force, an angelic being known as Lucifer, Satan, the devil, inhabiting him. And God cursed both. He cursed the animal that was in the garden, that was a creature that God had made, where he would no longer walk upright, as the Hebrew puts, like cattle, to where now he will crawl on his belly as the serpents you and I know now. There was a point when the animal serpent walked upright. The curse was, you will no longer have that kind of access to humanity. I am going to humble you. And it's true that reptiles today, all of them have the scales on their belly because they go along the ground. They eat the dust of the earth, so to speak. There was a cursing on the animal that participated in this by allowing the demonic force to control him, to speak through him. And so, so again, we have an animal, an angelic being also participating in this is Lucifer. Look at Revelation 12:9 for us. Revelation 12:9 gives us this insight that I'm pulling from. It says, "And there the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent." See, you have a modern serpent that you and I know as reptiles, and you have an ancient reptile. The ancient reptile, the Bible refers to it not as a snake, but as a dragon. See, there were specific Greek words for serpent, snake, and for dragon. A dragon was a mythological creature that walked upright. a reptile that walked upright. It is Lucifer, when he's talking about the ancient serpent, they don't call him a snake, they call him a dragon. And so again, this is part of where we get that at one time there was a change in the genetics. God cursed the reptiles to crawl on their belly and eat the dust of the earth, and that there was a physical animal and an angelic spirit working together. It's possession. Those of you that have ever been overseas, you know that there are some weird possessions that happen where demons do weird things through people. We know in the New Testament that Jesus put the demons in pigs. He cast them out of people and he put them into animals. The demonic possessing animals is very biblical and very understandable, just like he possesses people. People can be possessed by the demonic. And so, again, this is stuff that is worldview changing, to start aligning your worldview with how the Bible says it, and that there was these two beings that were dealt with. The animal was cursed to crawl on his belly, and the demonic force was cursed that he could not get into the face of humans the same way that he did this time. God put a protection on us. And then also, along with this curse, I don't have time to break it all down, but there was a prophecy about the Messiah was going to smash his head, that the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. And that was done on the cross when Jesus Christ paid for your sins and the serpent was crushed, where he was totally defeated. And the victory is back, where humanity can have victory over this demonic force that has laid waste to us from this first fall to even now. All the death, destruction, disease, all the things that are in the world today came from this angelic being in his destruction when he led our ancestors astray. Now, this angelic being tempted Eve, the first woman, to eat of the fruit of the garden that was forbidden. We see this in verses 1 and 2. The serpent was more crafty than any of the beasts of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree? See, he's taking God's word and he's twisting it. God didn't say any tree. He said this one tree. He set up a parameters for our freedom. And we said, no, we want that. He tempted Eve. This temptation was to become like God, knowing good and evil, verses 4 and 5. You will not surely die, the serpent told her, for God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. This is something that is real controversial, but your free will was birthed here. Your free will of being able to choose good and evil independent of God was birthed here. Before that, it was pretty simple. If God told you not to do it, you didn't do it. If God told you to do it, you did it. You didn't ponder. You didn't stop and say, that's interesting. That's an idea, God. But you know what? If I do that, I may pay a big price. You know, if I did it your way, God, there would be ramifications. How about we meet in the middle, God? I not do what you said 100%, but on Sundays I'll do it. You see what I mean? It was birthed when she ate of this fruit. She received that independent ability to determine what she was going to do outside of what God says she should do. And that's the core of humanity's problem, is that we are stuck in the time, matter, and space thing, and we make decisions upon what we can see, feel, and touch. A Christian worldview rolls it back and says that all of this that I'm making decisions out of came from God, and therefore I am not able to make these kind of judgments independent of him because he has a perspective I don't. Amen? He has a perspective I don't. I can only make a judgment by what's in my brain, by my experiences, by my perspective. He has a higher perspective, an uncreated perspective that is above time, matter, and space, and I can trust him. That's a realigning of our worldview. God said it. I'm going to do it. The temptation, again, was to become like God. The woman allowed her eyes to lust for the godlike ability and fell into sin. Verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eyes, so that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom, she took it and ate it. Again, this is her in a small human perspective. She allowed her eyes to see. She allowed her heart to lust. Actually, there's the three sins here. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life was showing up in her. She saw that it was good for food. Good for food. That's the lust of the flesh. It's good for my body to eat of this. Pride of life. I will become like God. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes. Pride of life. It's still at the core of you and I in our rebellion against God. We still have those abilities to determine for ourselves what we are going to participate in from our perspective of what we see as good for us and what we see as bad for us. It's the core of humanity's ailments. Adam was there all along and thus participated in the sin. Verse 6, it says, she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. He wasn't supposed to be such a silent partner here because he was the one that was originally given the commandment, don't eat of this, and he had passed it on to her. And here he is passively letting her face the serpent alone, this ancient serpent, this dragon. And he's not defending her. He's not standing up for what is right. He participated in it. They responded to their sin with shame. Verse 7, it says this, and the eyes of both of them were opened. They knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And then it says that when God showed up to walk in the cool of the garden, they hid themselves. It's the guilt and shame that you and I have after we make these independent decisions outside of God and we get the guilt and shame that we did wrong. This was the birth of it. And all of us have this issue of guilt and shame. Those are not part of what God's vision is for you and I, is to live with guilt and shame. Through the power of the cross, you can put that behind you. You don't have to live with it. So many of us, we think that our guilt and shame, we have to hang on to it because it keeps us in line. It keeps me afraid of doing it again because I don't want the guilt and shame to come up again. You know, that serves a temporary purpose, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not what God has for you. He wants you to have your record clean. He wants to have those tapes in your head that play nonstop, reminding you of your failures and your past and your sins and your transgressions. He wants those wiped away as clean as snow, separated from you as far as the east is from the west. He wants you to live in freedom from the past. Amen? This was part of this fall, was the guilt and shame that came on it after they determined for themselves that it was good for them to have this ability of independent thought outside of what God said. Now, this passage is one of the most important passages needed to understand what our spiritual vision problems are. Humans now have the ability to determine spiritual value without consulting God. I wish that there's been times in my life that I have gone on my own understanding and I have made decisions. And it's like, why didn't I just listen to God and do it His way right the first time? And I think that's what He wants us as we go into 2020 and you and I determine we're going to have 2020 spiritual vision. We need to start making decisions based upon what He wants and not what we think is in our best self-interest. That may mean you doing things that are radical, radical, sharing your faith in situations that might get you persecuted. Standing up for Christ when it's not the thing the world is telling you to do. To some of you, to quit your job and to go into ministry. To make a direction change where it says, I only have this little bit left in my life. I am going to devote it to the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it may cost you. It may be the most radical thing you can do. To be having a heart that if God tells you to do it, you're going to do it. And you're not going to start bargaining with Him because you know better than He does. What has He been telling you to do? What do you think that He wants you to do in your neighborhood, in your job, in your family? And to say, I'm going to stop being on the throne and I'm going to start doing it. Amen? Simple obedience. This puts us, when we have this ability to have the spiritual value without consulting with God, this puts us outside of God's will for us and for others. It's what the core of humanity's problems are, is this self-absorption with my ability to determine what I think is right and wrong, regardless of what God says. This puts us into the kingdom of the serpent, the dragon. It puts us into His kingdom. He has control over humanity right now because humanity wants to feel like they're in charge. But the fact is that when you are in the garbage dump of God, the biggest dog runs the show. Satan is the biggest dog in the garbage heap. He's the biggest maggot. He's the biggest fly. He's the biggest buzzard. He is the king of the garbage dump. And when humanity wants to do things themselves without God, they end up in a garbage dump of God. They end up separated from God, alienated from God, separated from God. And no matter how arrogant you and I think we are that we can rule this, we can't, because Satan is more powerful than us. That's why they call this the kingdom of the power of the air who now controls the disobedient. That's from the New Testament. Satan is the god of this world. And there is no third way. And I talked about this last week. Too many Christians, we think that there's a third way where we can not be like the world. We can be cleaned up. We can be good people. But we don't have to get radical in our faith and get into that gospel stuff. There's no third way. You're either in the garbage dump of God or you're in the kingdom of God. There's no third way. That's part of the perspective change. It's for Christians to realize that you're either on God's side or you're enemies of God. You're either in the kingdom of Christ or in the kingdom of Satan. There's no third way. That was the lie of the Garden of Eden. And eating the fruit is that there's a third way. There's a way where you can be king. There's a way that you can call the shots. And you can be somewhat obedient and not drink, smoke, steal, those kind of things. But as for being radical and spreading the gospel, you know, that's for the professional clergy. It's not true. It's for all of us. My job is to equip you to do the ministry. Amen? This creates a need for redemption. Redemption is the buying back. And that's why he came. That's why God entered time, matter, and space, born as a human baby, Jesus, and grew up to be the sacrifice that pays for our sins so that we can be pulled out of one kingdom and put into a new kingdom. It's our redemption. If you've never had this, you need this. You need to be redeemed. And it's not a religion thing. It's not a Sunday thing. It's not a church building thing. Have you been redeemed? Have you surrendered your will to Christ and says, not my will, but yours be done? It's the part of being born again, of giving your life to Christ and allowing him to be on the throne, our redemption. Then we must realign our will with his. The Bible puts it this way, is that we must not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Then we can see clearly what God's will is for us, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Isn't that what we're talking about this year? Amen? We're talking about realigning our perspective with God's perspective so that we're having our mind transformed in what motivates us to do what we do. And it's a goal for me because I have to confess, this is a struggle of mine. I tell you, Kenny wants to be on the throne because Kenny gets scared about how far God's going to take him. There's times that I shrink back and it's like, God, you're asking too much of me. God, that is a too high of a price for me. And that's Ken on the throne trying to have this third way. And to keep reminding myself that I'm either in his kingdom or I'm not. Lord, what is it that you have for us? Spell it out clearly. And help us to just listen and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what glory he sheds on our way. Lord, help us to trust and obey. Lord, I thank you for this message. I thank you for your church. Help us, Lord Jesus, in this 2020 to realign our vision, to see things the way that you do, to put aside some of the things that we've been taught from our culture about spontaneous creation, that we basically created ourselves through matter and space and time, to where that there is an invisible God that created all things, and that faith is putting our trust in the uncreated, invisible you. Help us. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,